Morning. Please take a seat, please. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
And welcome. For those of you who don't know, my name's Chris. So you still know my name quite well. And we're looking at Acts 18. We're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to go on to the end of that chapter, which will be 28 in the Church Bibles. Page 1114, 1114 in the Church Bibles. And we're going to be looking at a couple. The theme as we're looking at today is characters. And we're looking at Aquila and Priscilla. Continue on from where Jonathan left us last week. So let's begin at verse 1 of Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to him, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sufnes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatever. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Senri because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Paphia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only of the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in the public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. So, today's message is, have you got a home for the Lord? Does your heart have a home for Jesus? And as Christians, for those that believe, our hearts should have a home for Jesus. Where do you consider your home to be? What does an open home look like? Is your home only opened for a special few in church and from work? And I hope by the end of this message, if you haven't already, you'll put your home in heaven, and that you'll think about having an open home to others, if not already, and that you'll have an open life for Christ. You see, when it comes to the Bible and God's work as regards companionship in the early church, we see two names that crop up here, Aquila and Priscilla. And their names appear six times in the scriptures. And half the time, the wife is mentioned before the husband. And that's not quite normally in circumstances. But at the beginning, we see Aquila is mentioned first. And later on, Priscilla gets mentioned first. We need to look at some background as to why this couple have ended up where they are, serving the gospel work, preaching Christ here in Corinth. And the first point is, a home for the Lord gives you companionship in serving Jesus. You see, when you serve the Lord, when you form companionships for the Lord, you will go through an experience of comfort and discomfort. And this couple was sent by the Lord to Corinth to preach and share the gospel in Corinth. They were sent to build friendships in the gospel and to mentor in the gospel. So Paul writes this book of Acts, and we see here in 18, he's left Athens on his way to Corinth. Paul walks all the way from Athens to Corinth. It's about 50 miles. And it's a beautiful long walk. Time to spend with the Lord. Paul has just failed in starting a church in Athens. Paul was low and discouraged. The great apostle was discouraged. Yes, Christians can get discouraged. The great apostle Paul was discouraged. So here Paul goes to one of the most wicked cities on the planet, Corinth. It was like the Sodom and Gomorrah of its day. It was like the Las Vegas of its day. It was a place where you could live it up. You could live it up with vice. Prostitution was a very big business there. Drink. All the other pleasures were on offer. Also, there was a great Roman bath. And there was theatres there. Everything and anything went on in Corinth. And it was all acceptable in Corinth. You can imagine sailors stopping off at the port. And Roman soldiers stopping off there. There was also a temple there for the goddess Aphrodite. And that temple had 1,000 priestesses. And these women would apply their trade at night. And you're thinking to yourselves, why would God send Paul and a married couple to go and serve in such a wicked city? Surely there must be easier places to go and serve the Lord. So Corinth was a commercial centre, but it was also a sin centre. Now Paul comes across this Christian couple. He's on his second missionary journey, And he has the most effective missionaries he ever has, and that's here at Corinth. And it's a very successful one. Ephesus is successful, and so is Corinth. In Ephesus, it was a religious centre. But here in Corinth, it was a sin centre. And all the trade that went to Athens went through Corinth. You can imagine how busy it was. It also had a sporting games once a year, a bit like the Olympics. So you can imagine it was a really bustling place. So remember, at this stage, Paul's been chased out of cities. He's been through a lot. He's exhausted, discouraged. And he comes across this wonderful couple. And it says he first meets a Jew in verse 2 called Aquila. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them. He gains companionship with this husband and wife. This couple had to leave Italy because the Jews were told to leave. The Jews that believed in Christ and the Jews that lived there. So Aquila gets mentioned first here. Now Priscilla, later on, as we know, gets mentioned before her husband. And it could be that Priscilla was a rich Roman woman. It could be that she grew spiritually so much that she became the good help to her husband. But it's interesting here. Her name comes later on and it comes before her husband. But they had to leave Rome. Claudius, the emperor, has all Jews kicked out because of anti-Semitism. They're in Corinth. They're in the same business as Paul. They're tent makers. Verse 3. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. So Paul brings these two people into his life. They become two good friends, two loyal friends. And I believe that Aquila and Priscilla were Christians before they met Paul. I believe there was a church going on in Rome long before Paul gets to Rome. Because in Romans 1, it mentions about a church in Rome. Romans 1 verse 7, and I'll read it to you. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. So I believe they're believers. He comes across them and they hit it off from the start. So they're saved. If they had not been saved, I'm sure it would have mentioned it in the scripture here. So verse 4. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in a synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So Paul goes to the synagogue to reason with the Jews as regards being saved by the blood of Christ. But there are others in the church, we see, that Paul gets to know. And what's critical here is we see that the Jews go against Paul and many Jews come to be saved. Aquila and Priscilla show hospitality to Paul. They show a virtue to Paul, which is a virtue of us being born again. Paul moves in with them. Paul shares their house with them. He becomes part of their life. So Paul tries to persuade these Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. This is what Paul is doing. And this couple join Paul in the work. So the question is, how do you spend your free time for Jesus? How do you spend your time at work or in your family for Jesus? Because here we see an outline of a couple spending their time constantly, as much as they can, serving and preaching Christ. Do we do that? Isn't it exciting how God brought two people into the life of a lonely, discouraged person? So much so that he had a place with them in their lives until he went to Rome. So in 1 Romans 16 verse 3, they're mentioned. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned. 2 Timothy 4, 19, they're mentioned. Paul loved them. And eventually, we see that a church grows up in their house. See, God has a way of meeting the need of a discouraged believer. He has a need and a way to see how we need companionship. I've been discouraged. I'm sure some of you have been discouraged on the Christian journey. Then Jesus gives you a friend, maybe a new friend or an old friend. Here in verse 5, we see that God sends two friends. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. So Paul is overjoyed. He gets to see two new friends come to be with him. He sends new companions into his life to support him. And then he sends two old friends into his life to support him. And here in verse 5, we really notice here that the one who preaches the gospel and teaches us the gospel in the church has to be supported by the church. Because Silas brings money and gives it to Paul, so Paul can now preach full time. So if any questions people ever have about having a full-time pastor, they're answered here in verse 5. Verse 6 and verse 7. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads." So Paul has to leave the synagogue. He can no longer preach the gospel in the synagogue. There is opposition. And guess where they go? They go next door. They go next door to preach the gospel. See, Paul loved preaching to the Jews and loved preaching to the Gentiles. And the church grows next door to the synagogue. And the owner of the synagogue and his whole household become saved. Wow, that's great. Things are going to get heated now. The church becomes established here. You see what's happening. As people hear the gospel, they believe the gospel. And they become baptized. They show a public statement to others that they have been saved by the blood of Christ. This is what's happening in Corinth. And this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, are at the center of this. So Paul is mentoring this couple. He's helping this couple to grow in the gospel, to grow in the work. This is what we're seeing here. And Paul mentors others, as we notice. The household of the owner of the synagogue becomes saved. So Paul, as he goes along, is mentoring those in the work. He's bringing them on. So the second point is passing the baton on, the gospel baton on, of mentoring for Jesus. And it can be hard to be a mentor. It can be a very hard process. You see, in church, you may not notice it, but we are all mentors to others. And in doing so, we are passing on the gospel baton to others. And I think some of you may have watched last night the athletics that was on television. And this thing here can be the most problematic thing in life. Because in a relay, as in church, this thing is so important in passing it on to the next generation. The gospel baton is what we seek to pass on to others. Whether it's children, whether it's adults. And if you watched the TV last night, you'll see that you need to have slick and smooth hands to pass it on. And if someone trips and falls, the team loses. If someone doesn't get it in their hand, the team loses. How important it is to pass on the gospel baton. And someone would have passed it on to you, and now you're passing it on to others. And that's why I say it can be a hard task to be a mentor. So the church has to move due to the problems with the Jews. So Priscilla and Aquila offer their home. But it seems Priscilla and Aquila, they've been working for the Lord for some time. They've been working in Corinth for some time before Paul gets there. Verse 9, on one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you and no one is going to attack and harm you. Because I have many people in this city. And as we see, Paul stays on in Corinth. Paul is encouraged by the Lord's words. So even there, Paul may be feeling a bit discouraged. It's normal to feel discouraged in the work. But here, the Lord says to him, keep on passing on that gospel baton. He's making tents. And now he can stop making the tents. And now he can serve the Lord full time. The couple continue working as tent makers. But I have this vision of them. Where they made their tents, they had an evangelistic table with evangelistic material. And I can imagine as people pass by to buy the goods that they sold, they would slip out tracts and evangelistic material. You got the idea. As people came past, they shared the gospel. They didn't shut up and close up. This couple used their home to serve for the gospel. They use themselves to preach Christ in all its forms. And I think Paul was so encouraged, he stayed that year and a half before going on to Syria. And when he goes on to Syria, in verses 18 to 20, look who he takes with them. So Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. So he takes a trusted couple who have worked hard with him in the work. And they love him and he loves them. And they go off to Syria. Long before Islam was preached in Syria, the gospel was being preached in Syria. Now I often think, why am I the man I am today? And I often think it's because of the influences that I've had in my life. It could be immediate family. It could be my early time that I had here in this church in a Sunday school. And I can think of two women who passed on the gospel baton to me here from the age of 5, Auntie Dots and Auntie Grace in a Sunday school, mentoring in the gospel work. We all can think of people that have mentored us. I can think of a man called Malcolm Eglinton from Enfield Evangelical Free Church when he'd come and preach here, spending time with me and my wife and preaching the gospel here. We can all think of someone who's passed on the gospel baton to us. And a man called Webster defines a mentor as a guide, a coach, a tutor, and a counsellor. So in creating a legacy, it does not end with any of you here. It continues with others. Passing on the baton is the most important thing we do in the gospel work. Because we're passing on the gospel message. How we pass the baton on to others is crucial. And the most crucial moment is the moment it passes on from one hand to the next. And really, as I mentioned, does something go wrong in the run, it's usually the passing on of it. We benefit from our tutors and our mentors, their time, their model, their words. For mentors, they fill us with things in our lives that we could have missed. And in this chapter, chapter 18, in Corinth, it's like a wheat field set on fire. The gospel goes through the Middle East and onto Europe. The gospel is spreading like a fire. Aquila and Priscilla open up their house to become a church, with children running around, making lots of noise. Probably things getting broken. But they open it up as a gospel centre. Can we say that about our homes? They open up their home as a bed and breakfast for Paul and others. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 19. It says here in a letter, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." A mentor gets up close and personal. A mentor likes being face to face. And Paul does this with Aquila and Priscilla. He stays close to them. And I believe that these two then do this with others in Corinth. Paul spends time with this couple. When you're around a mentor, you're watching them. You're listening from them. Priscilla and Aquila were like a sponge, soaking it up. It might not always be one-to-one. Sometimes you are just listening to them, studying them, watching them. Their spare time, this couple spent for the Lord. They had very little time for themselves. You know, in life, we always want me time. I want to sit in front of the television and switch it on. Put the kids to bed early. Because we want me time. But do we have an open home for others to come and hear and we can share the gospel with them? Paul preaches in their house. He mentors to them. He speaks the truth of the gospel. Paul is straight talking. And this is what this couple do. They adopt this attitude. This couple did not have a few favourites in the church. Everyone in the church was their favourite. Why? Because everyone in the church were God's family. That's what I love about this couple. They do not choose to hang out with just a select few from the church. They hang out with everyone from the church because they open up their home to be a church. Are our homes open to anyone from the church family? If you cannot do that, are your lives open to people in the church? Do you say to someone, "Hey, let's go and have a cup of tea or a coffee at the Starbucks because my house is too messy"? Or can we say, "Let's get our children together and go and play in the park because we've not done it for a while"? Aquila and Priscilla show us that when we are in God's family, we try to hang out with all of God's family and not just a chosen few. How do we spend our spare time for Jesus? You know, a good mentor does not cut and run. They stick it through. They stick it through conflict and they stick it through even if the numbers go down. Paul had staying power and he noticed that this couple had staying power. Do you have staying power? Have you asked Jesus for that staying power if you've not got it? Maybe a child is giving you a hard time. Maybe life is giving you a hard time. But the mentor stays with you. You see, God's Son stays with you, even when you don't notice. Paul takes Aquila and Priscilla with him. They have a relationship of loyalty. He leaves them in Ephesus. Why does he leave them? Because he trusts them. He trusts them to continue the work. It says in verse 21. "But as he left," that's Paul, "he promised, 'I will come back if it is God's will.' Then he set sail from Ephesus." So Paul was not a control freak. A good mentor will trust you when they are not around. He travels on, he leaves them. So let me ask you, are you serving Jesus Christ to all your capacity? Do you want to serve Jesus Christ? Paul is no longer there in verses 24 and 25. We see that a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervour and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only of the baptism of John. So a Jew converted to Christ, Apollos, mighty in the scriptures. He's from Egypt. He's like a meteor shooting through the sky as he talks. Apollos has a passion for Jesus. He's been instructed in the way of the Lord. And he, watch, spoke accurately on Jesus, but he knew only of the things surrounding the baptism of John. So what did this couple do? What do they do? Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in a synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. This couple take Apollos aside and gently explain the way of God to him more accurately. They continue in the gospel work here in Ephesus. Here comes this hotshot from Egypt. He's gifted, he's passionate, he's well educated. They listen to him, and their ears and their minds have been trained by Paul, and their ears, like Rottweilers or Dobermans, prick up. They hear what is not being said. They have a discerning mind because of Paul. They can tell error and what is not being said. They know he does not know some of the things of Christ. They do not know of the finished work of Christ. They do not know. They know he knows nothing of the Holy Spirit. So they gracefully handle it. They invite him home to their home. And without embarrassing him in front of others, they don't shout at him. They take him home, probably cook him a lovely good meal, and they share the ministry of Jesus Christ with him. They share the evangelism and the gospel with him more clearly to help him understand it. That's a good mentor. They do it privately and in such a way to encourage him in the gospel work. And Aquila and Priscilla, who were mentored by Paul, now they are mentoring Apollos. This tells us a lot about Apollos. He doesn't resist their instruction. This couple, they know how to address weaknesses. They were with Paul, and now they help Apollos. They open up their home to Apollos, and they show they have nothing to hide, and they share the gospel with him. This couple show humbleness, taught through Paul, and they pass it on to Apollos. This couple, they're not arrogant in serving Christ. And this is really helpful to Apollos, because this couple show they are humble, realistic, and they address Apollos' weaknesses. So Priscilla and Aquila stay humble. They hang out with Apollos. And in verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And when he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. So Apollos mentors now others in the church he is now going on to. He has a brilliant skill, we see, of him defending Christ in verse 8:28. So we see here that Aquila and Priscilla learn grace from Paul, and that Apollos learns the grace from Aquila and Priscilla. The baton is changing hands. The grace baton is changing hands. He's brilliant at defending the gospel. He vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. So as I come to end, Jesus wants companionship with you through the cross. When you go, what will your tombstone read? Will it read, "This person gave their soul, their life, to serving Jesus"? Or will it say, "This person served the Lord with every passion, with every care. They opened their home up, they gave their money, they gave their free time, they gave their work time for the cross"? Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, if you don't have Jesus in your life, then you need to know that Jesus wants to be your companion forever. He wants to be your mentor. Jesus gave up his time with the Father in heaven to come down, to go on the cross for anyone who will admit that they are a sinner and that will accept that their sin is forgiven through him. Jesus wants to enable you to have the best home you could ever have, the best companionship you can ever have, to spend it with God the Father, with God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for eternity. May we pray. Lord Jesus, we all come from different families. And Lord, I pray for those in our family here. Pray for those who are not believers, that they turn to Christ. I pray that we are good mentors to others, to our children, to people around us, at work, in our families. I pray for those, Lord, that we ask for forgiveness from. I pray, Lord, that there may be people here who need their tears wiping away. I pray that we can be a new friend to some in the church, or a new friend to someone at work, or in our community. I pray as a family, as a fellowship, that we help and mentor each other, that we learn from this couple of Aquila and Priscilla, of their humbleness, of their love for others, of opening up their lives and their home. May we learn from this example of opening up our lives and our homes to others. May we understand no time is wasted. We pray for the time we spend on Sundays is spent with you well. Lord, may we be used to create a legacy of the gospel here in Edmonton and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.